to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. There will be a congregational business meeting directly following this service, and we encourage you to attend if you're able to do so. And included in this meeting will be the latest update on the church property project. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to find the answer to the question, what is the abomination of desolation? Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this coming week and next Sunday. You will also notice as an insert in your bulletin the information on the mother and daughter luncheon. And this is on Saturday, this coming Saturday, at the Bethel Church property. And will you see Mary Tomlinson regarding tickets for this event? And it will be necessary to know how many are going to be able to attend in order to plan for the refreshments. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 3 and 4. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all the works are done in truth. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 44, and Can It Be That I Should Gain? Number 227, The Cleansing Wave.
Thank you. standing for prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, our Lord, into thy holy place. And we are blessed that we have a high priest that sits at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And so, Father, as a church body, we are grateful that we can proclaim and announce that Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, has come, that he resurrected, he's at the right hand of the Father, and is willing to save those who claim him as their Savior. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church here in Morgan Hill, California, so that many people here in the area, there in the internet, in the radio ministry of KKNC, and later on through the CD ministry and tape ministry, can rejoice with us and the great fellowship that we have as we look upon this scripture and as we rejoice in the fact that indeed the scripture points to Christ as Savior. Thank you, Father. Lord, also as a church body, we intercede for those in need. And we pray first and most for our country, for those people who have a devastating storm in Kansas. And many, many believers are without houses. And some families lost their beloved ones. And so, Father, we pray that somewhere, somehow, they look up and seek for the comfort of the Almighty. Lord, for our brother Tom Curley, who's in recovery after surgery. For our Loretta Forrest, our wonderful lady, who is in bed with cancer. For Mary and Jerry West in Costa Rica, who listen faithfully. For Donald McDowell in his recovery, and many others, Father, who are sick and need the touch of thy presence and the comfort of thy hope. Father, we also extend our ministry through missionaries, and we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis as they are seeking to serve you in South California and in the school. For Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. For Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga. For David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Bendaño in Guatemala and Central America. Marta Poretti in Argentina. Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquito, Peru. Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. And Father, locally for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Damian and Miriam Lacey as they minister in the motorsport ministry across America. We are grateful, O Father, that not only here we share the gospel, but through these families who are serving you in a diversity of manners, in a diversity of ministries, we want to put that seed of the gospel in the hearts of the people across America and across the world. Now, Father, bless us as we continue in the service. May the Spirit of God lead us to the understanding of the Scripture. May the choir bless you with power. And may the reading of thy word be a blessing to our heart. And, Father, we are grateful for the faithfulness of your people. And so, Father, we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1072. We will be reading Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 through 29. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew 26, verses 20 through 29. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our gracious God, we thank you for the reliable and true record that Scripture provides. In life and death issues that have eternal consequences, we are assured that as believers, this new and better covenant applies to each of us personally, as the Lord Jesus transformed the last Passover into the First Supper, when he represented both the Lamb, the Paschal Lamb, and the elements in the communion service. We will never cease to thank you and praise him that his blood has cleansed us from every guilty stain. Pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he continues to teach in the entire Bible all the things that point to or are about the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us also here and listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD that we may grasp the tremendous salvation you have provided through Jesus Christ. May we know without doubt that no one can come to you except through him. May we respond with obedience to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And before we open the scripture, we want to mention to you and pray. I forgot to let you know that Joseph's father, in the El Gro mountains there, they have a house, and he went to get his mail, and the mailman came with a little car, and I guess forgot to put the brake and put the accelerator, and got him against something. So he is with injuries in Davis University there in the hospital, in the ICU unit, and Joe Bedodo is over there. Also, I didn't know that Dr. McCormick fell, and I hope that he is doing well. I'm going to check him out after the service and show you his house, my good friend. So we pray for them. Now you can open the Bible in the Gospel of Matthew, almost to the end on chapter 26. If you have, there is a Bible provided for all of you there on the pew, and you can look on it. I want to speak this month about bibliology. You maybe took a class in bibliology. This is going to be entirely different. I'm just going to show in the scripture things in the Bible from the Bible point of view rather than from man's point of view. And in our church, on the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper.
And these churches knows what that means, but I want to explain it as simple as possible from the scripture, what the Lord's Supper really is, so that when somebody else comes, we can use the CD for the person to listen to. So this month going to be on bibliology, what the Bible really says about the Lord's Supper. God's willing, the coming Sunday is Mother's Day. Biblical motherhood, and we're going to look into Proverbs chapter 31 extensively and see what a mother is supposed to do according to the scripture. Alright? Always according to the scripture, because there is no other reference better than the scripture. If you are here in Matthew, I want you to put one hand in Matthew and go to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, in chapter 12. And so you're going to see the background of the Lord's Supper. Exodus, the second book of the Bible, in chapter 12. And I'm going to read a few verses that will clarify once for all certain details about the Lord's Supper through different, actually will clarify entirely the difference between Protestants and Roman Catholics. We will clarify and give you a plate, the answer, so that you have no more doubts about it. I'm reading Exodus chapter 12. Israel is now going to be free from the Egyptians, and God is, just give you a historical background, and God is going to tell Israel, now this is what you're going to do so that I can work and free you forever. Alright, listen to this. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month, and shall be the first month of the year to you. That's between March 14 and April 14. The calendar that we use is a Roman Catholic calendar, has nothing to do with the Bible calendar. And so between March 14 and April 14, remember, the Bible divides the calendar by moons, we divide the calendar by the sun. Alright, it makes 3 days difference and so on. Alright, here's what it is. He said, this month, which is the month of Nisan, you're going to be the first month. Now look at what God proposed to the congregation. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat. If not eat raw, no sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remain of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord Passover. The Lord's going to pass over. Now here's the clarification, verse 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of the Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood, listen carefully, and the blood shall be for a token, a sign, upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And these they shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord through your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an what? Ordinance forever. Now look to verse 43, please. Same chapter, verse 43. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is what? Not a sacrament, but an ordinance. Alright? That's what the Bible says. This is an ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. Now, if this is the ordinance of the Lord for generation to generation, each time the Bible used three times the word generations, that means it's forever. How come today Brother Greg don't bring a lamb and Brother Jack a knife and kill the lamb? I get in a stick, touch the blood, and you pass by, and I touch you with the blood. How come we are not doing that when the Bible says this is for generation to generation to generation? It is an ordinance. You know what an ordinance is? A decree. Cannot be a boy. It's something that, immovable. That's it. It is an ordinance. How come we don't do that? Now let's turn your Bible to Matthew's chapter 26. Now this passage of Matthew chapter 26 needs the background, and the background is right there in verse 18 and in verse 19. Same chapter 26, verse 18 and 19. I want you to know that what happened here before that what we call the Lord's Supper. Look at here, Matthew 26, verse 18. And he said, Jesus said, go into the city, he's talking to the 12 disciples, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover. Now the Passover is Exodus 12, alright? Remember? Exodus 12, 13, the Passover. I will keep the Passover, said the Messiah, at your house with my disciples. Now the house is a house of Mark. Mark, his name was John. But Mark, who was a rich fellow in among the disciples. Verse 19. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. So now the passage that we have for our examination this morning is nothing more and nothing less than the Passover. Jesus is going to see. Everything is ready, and they're going to have the Passover. So much that I'm just going to glance a little bit at verse 26, for example, the same chapter. And the Bible says, as they were eating, and verse 27, and he took the cup. In other words, they have the Passover feast. On the Passover feast, if you know the book of Leviticus, there were 7 cups of wine in the table. There were drink at different times, and everybody will take the cup of wine and drink and pass it to the other and drink a little and pass it to the other and drink a little, and then later on in the meal they do that as a combination of eating the body of the lamb, and the wine was a symbol of the blood of that lamb. And they were doing the Passover. Jesus was doing the Passover. He did not avoid the Passover. He was in the Passover. Because it was not a sacrament, an ordinance. Now a sacrament, if you go to the World Dictionary, is something that you do to improve you or to make you better. You get benefit from a sacrament. Makes you holy. Alright, an ordinance is an obedience, is that right? It's an obedience to the law. The city of Orient Hill has 4,917 ordinances, to regulate the city. All right? So it's an ordinance, and you don't violate them. Now, I want to explain then what happened here in Matthew 26, because we are doing today what Jesus did then. All right? And I'm going to explain that the Lord's Supper was a different feast than the Passover first. So let's look on it. Number one, he brought the participants into a direct relationship with the person. Look at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, this is what? My body. In the Passover feast, you are in direct relationship with the Lamb. In Leviticus 1, Leviticus 5, Leviticus 18, you have to put your hands on the lamb as the priest slashed the lamb with a knife. The relationship was impersonal. It was with the lamb. Was something that represents something that they didn't know. It was the lamb. But here, right here, in verse 26, the Bible says that that Jesus brought the participants into a direct relationship with his person. Can you imagine how they would look to each other when they were on the Lord's Supper? And then Jesus said, verse 26, took the bread and prayed, which is correct, and he prayed for the bread, and then after he prayed for the bread, he said, you take this piece of bread, each of you a little one, so because this is my body. Now, they knew that that piece of bread was not his body because Jesus was with them. Is that right? That piece of bread do not became the body of Christ because Christ was there. So how many bodies Christ have? One. All right? It's simple. So I am with you, if you're not familiar with this, and with the disciples who were used to do the Jewish Passover, and now they said, what's going on? All right? Now, he brought the participant into direct relationship with a person, and then also he brought the participants to a new covenant. Their covenant with God was the lamb, the blood of the lamb. That's when God sees the blood. Remember that verse? Well, let's go. Put one hand here and go back to Exodus chapter 12, in case you are not familiar, so to look at it again. In verse 13 of Exodus chapter 12, the Bible said, and the blood shall be to you for a token. That's the seal upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood of the Lamb was the ring, the seal that said, I belong to God. And God will never, never, never touch me. That was the covenant. The blood of that Lamb, unblemished Lamb. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 12, chapter 26, look what happened in verse 27 and 28. The Bible said that Jesus then took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it. That means the cup is passing and everybody just takes a sorb on the cup. Look at verse 28. For this is what did Jesus said? My blood. Now, once again, let's have common sense about this. That cup of wine did not become blood because the blood was running on the body of Christ. Is that right? He said, this is my blood. It's not that he slashed his vein and put the vein blood on the cup and said, now drink my blood. He said, this is my blood. There was wine, all right? Maybe from Gallo here. And there was wine they took in representation of his blood. You see it clearly over there? Verse 28. For this is my blood of what? Now, the Bible in King James said the New Testament, the word should be covenant. Testament and covenant is the same. When you sign a testament, you sign a covenant. When you die, this is what I want to happen. And is respected, alright? And so this is the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Now, to redeem your sins, to become a clean believer before God, you need to go once a week, remember, in the Old Testament, on the Passover, and then as you put your hand on the lamb and they slash the blood, then you are clean for another year. But Jesus said, that blood of the lamb is no longer valid. It is my blood that will be valid. Now, the disciples are Passover, like some of you will be, because they didn't know that Jesus was going to go to the cross and blood will come from his body and die. Of course, but they obey him fully. And so, it is a different feast of the Passover. Number one, because now I am not identified with a religion, I am not identified with an animal, I'm identified with Jesus Christ himself. And number two, because the seal of my covenant is not something that I do, it's something that he did. He gave me his blood. It's not a blood that I provide through a lamb into the house of God. It is the blood that he provides for me individually, personally, to each one of us. So far, it's okay? You understand. All right. Number two, it was full of sadness and great hope. The Passover. Let me show it here. Sadness because Jesus announced that an end had come to his companionship. Verse 29 in Matthew 26. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Again, I don't know if the disciples understand this. John did, because if you go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, John writes about it in verse 17. Put one hand in Matthew and go to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. The great Lord's supper in heaven of all the believers, all the redeemed believers to the entire world, Old Testament and New Testament. From Adam on, the angel revealed to John then, by the year 100, this is what is going to happen in heaven. It's going to be a great Lord's supper. The supper of the Lord. And so, was full of sadness because that announced that Jesus was going to take off. Their master, their protector, their guide, the light of their life is going to go. But not forever because it's going to meet you in another Lord's supper in heaven. Now also is full of joy because Jesus announced that he will join them back in the new kingdom. If you go back to Matthew 26 and verse 29, he said clearly, until that day, say in verse 29, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What are you talking about? So I will drink this with you in my Father's kingdom. Have you ever in moments of sadness or in moments of you are depressed for any reason or frustrated or really you read the newspaper and you see the sadness of the world going down the hill? Where are you going to look for encouragement? I tell you what I look. On the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Look at what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, and I'm going to read a few verses for you. Brother, I skipped one song today by mistake, but I think that God did it so I can enjoy more teaching to you a little longer, all right? I like to teach for an hour. I love when I go to Spanish services, there's 2.5 hours, and I really enjoy to look into the scripture, but I don't want to hold you for 2.5 hours. Verse 1 in chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Remember, my Father's kingdom. Remember that word that Jesus said. And I will join with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, here's his Father's kingdom. Look at it. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, the Bible used the word bride as a symbol of all the believers in the New Testament. And so now we are coming down to live in a new world. And I, John, verse 2, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. See, the new world, alright? Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God is now dwelling with men, like at the beginning. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. God is going to be with us. We're going to be in a world where God is physically with us. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true, and these words are faithful. You see, that's the Father's kingdom. And I like it. Because if you go to the end of chapter 21, verse 27, there will be no need of policemen. We will save a lot of taxes. No need of policemen. Look at here, verse 27. He said, and there shall in no wise enter into it, into the new city, anything that defile, neither whatsoever work abomination or make it a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the new city. That's it. And so now, that's full of joy. You go back to Matthew's in chapter 26, and you have to agree with me, the Lord's Supper was a sad moment, Jesus saying, I'm going to leave you, and at the same time said, but I, no, forever, I meet you there in heaven. And when you get there in heaven, you will have no memory of those who were not believers in your family, for example. You have a father who was not a believer, a mother, a brother, a sister, a cousin. You have no memory of them, so there will be no sorrow. Alright? You're only going to have memory of those who believe with you, and there will be only joy, and joy, and joy, and God is going to be there. Right there. You don't need to know Hebrew or Greek to understand God, because the Bible said, we will know as we were known. In other words, you will look and know. Young people will know, nice to have a mind like that for college. The teacher is going to speak and you know exactly what he's going to say. He said, I know it, I can take an exam right now. Amazing. This is so amazing that the media cannot conceive it. That's what they don't argue about. They don't have an idea of what's going on. The media, the world, we, without Christ, have no idea what God has prepared for us. Sometimes we worry about the things on this earth, and we worry about what car we drive and what house we have and so on. We have no idea of the glorious future that is for all of us. I mean, glorious. Glorious. Doesn't matter if you are a carpenter, a garbage collector, or a medical doctor. We all want to have the same. Isn't that great?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right, Brother Chris. Hallelujah. Well, one more. It is implication. I want to, not only I want you to know the difference between the Passover and the Lord's Supper and the sadness and hope of the installation of the Passover, but the implications. Going back to Matthew chapter 26, there were two elements that Jesus used as a picture of Himself. Now, a lot of people said, well, the Protestant people say that. The people who, remember, in the year 1600, branch off from the Roman Catholic Church, and Luther never wants to do that, but his conviction brought into reason with the Scripture. The major difference between Catholicism and Protestant is that we do not do anything to be saved. Christ has done everything for us. And this is the picture. So who tells you that? Well, look at Matthew again. at the end, at the very end of verse 26, Matthew 26, at the very end of verse 26, take it, this is my body. And I told you, this is the picture, because his body was over there. Now, look in verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament. And people say, well, the Bible said, my blood and my body. So there has to be this. Well, thank God, the Apostle Paul, the genius of Paul, clarified this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You go to Matthew, go through all the Gospels, Acts, and then Romans, and you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16 will tell you the scripture. Remember what I said? This is a class in bibliology. We're going to only make points of what the scripture says. And so the scripture will reveal this to you. Look at verse 16. Look at what the Bible says. The cup of blessing, talking about the Lord's Supper, which we bless, is not the communion of the blood of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul takes the insight from the Gospel of Luke, where in the Gospel of Luke, the blood, the wine is served first, and then the bread after. And so, you have this alternative in the Gospels. In one Gospel, first is the bread, and then is the wine. And Luke Gospel, first is the wine, and then is the bread. Two different occasions, of course. And so the Apostle Paul picks up from Dr. Luke, and this is what he said, is not it is not the communion of the blood of Christ. In other words, when we bless the cup or the fruit of the vine, we are blessing the communion of these. One with communion is metta, is and metta et kononia means one with. When a man and a woman married and have intimate relationship, they have communion. That's what the word really means. The intimate oneness. There is no separation. And so the apostle is saying, is not the blood of Christ. The cup symbolized that communion. That means the blood of Christ was my blood. That's what he said. This cup who has the fruit of the vine represent me dying for my sins. But I don't have to. Christ did it for me. That's what represents it. Now look at what the Bible says again in verse 16. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. In other words, we are saying one, we are one with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my actual place. I should be dying. I should be the one who I should pay forever in hell for my sin. But I don't have to, because Christ did it for me. I show it to you as I take part of this bread. I'm saying this bread symbolizes the actual body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me, who now free me from that judgment to come. Boy, I tell you, it's not difficult, no? It's no hard to really understand it. What are we saying then? We are saying that as we were born, we had communion with God, just Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 3, we lost the communion with God. And from that time on, we do not lose God, we lose ourselves God. And so we are not looking for God. You have a baby, and you never teach that baby about God, and that baby will never look for God by himself or by herself. It is God who is seeking that baby through a mother who's a believer, through a father who's a believer, through a friend. And then God reached his people. Remember, Genesis 1, 2, and 3 are the key chapters of the Bible. In Genesis 3, Adam sinned. And what he does when we sin, what do? We hide ourselves. We hide ourselves. I remember myself. You know, I love chocolate. My grandmother was a master in chocolate. But she knew that I would cheat when she leave the house. So she put the little jar just made, beautiful, melted chocolate on the top in the kitchen. And she left. And I always ask, how long going to be? And remember, in my times, I'm an old fellow. And in Argentina, they had no cars, they walk. Oh, I have to go to the store. I mean, 15 blocks one way, 15 blocks the other. All right? And she's going to become loaded. She was Arab, all right? Come from a Palestinian family. She was loaded, put a basket in her head, and she was coming, singing and going like this on the street. Wonderful picture. Makes me cry when I remember her goodness with God. And I tell you, I just have a good dog, a good Sherman Shepherd dog. And I said, the dog maybe can jump and move that thing out. And well, we did it. And the jar was coming down. I got it, and the dog shared with me back and forth. And we put, somehow I put the jar back. And my grandma knew everything. And so she came in with a long, you know, Palestinian dress in black, with a long dress on the floor. And she would come in and say, how's everything? You're fine. All right. But my dog has chocolate all over the place. He said, well, let's get to the kitchen. All right, in the kitchen, you have to put wood to heat it. I mean, I went through that. If you can't have water, you have to heat the water in order to have hot water. You know, America, you people don't know what you have. And he said, how things went? What do you did? Oh, I read. Oh, you read. And do you eat anything? No. And so she looked to the log, and the dog... And I looked at the dog and said, oh, come on, the dog, trying to wash the dog with a hose, you know, and so on. And then I don't went to the kitchen again, because grandma was waiting for me. All right? With a little paddle, you know. Because I lie. Not because I eat that, because I lie. I had to have 4 strikes from grandma. And then you know. It's illegal today in America, but that's the way it is. So, I hide myself. And that's what mankind did. Mankind hide themselves. And God has to come in. You remember Genesis 3:6? And God said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, well, my wife did something bad and I was afraid. And then he covered it with aprons. Remember, mankind is still doing that today. He covered it with aprons. Before he was new, before God, no problem. Now he's covered with aprons, a symbol that we covered up our sin. We say, no, one man, I talked to a doctor yesterday about the Lord, and he said, well, I'm a science person. That's the apron of science. I don't want to hear about God because I'm a science person. So God is over there and I have my apron here. Other people say, you know, we are free in America. We can be everything, the apron of freedom. Other people say, I have money, I don't need God. The apron of money. We're still doing that. And the Lord's Supper is saying to you, you need Christ. You need the Lamb, the blood of Christ. You don't get it from these plates and these cups. You get it by faith. You come and you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you. In other words, what Christ has done, he brought a substitute. He is the one who replaced you and me on the cross of Calvary. But you don't get it until God sparkled the light in your heart. And when God sparkled the light in your heart, then you say, oh, wow, that's right. Now, what do I have to do for that light to sparkle in my heart? Well, you have to read the scripture. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And what Satan does in America? Well, no more prayer, no more reading of the scripture, no more reading of the scripture in the schools of America. That Satan himself. I remember in 82, when I went to Nicaragua, and the now President Ortega was the commander-in-chief. He went to see me. What I was doing in his country, so I'm just reading the scripture. And he said, I want you to read the scripture in every classroom. I thought the empire is going to be destroyed. And so as many schools, Raquel and I, we have an all 4 with us, and we went in the mountains, every place, just reading the Bible, and Family Radio provides more than 20,000 Bibles in the schools in Nicaragua. And I just relaxed. I told the president, commander, I said, you are the greatest man I ever met. So why? Because the Americanos, they put the Bible away. He said, well, what is truth? Somebody had told him truth is in the Bible, and he started believing that. And you know, he lost after that, he lost the elections, he don't cause a revolution. Now he was elected by the people. Peace came to Nicaragua, prosperity in business, people returning to Nicaragua from Miami, because things changed. And what happened is this took about 20 years. This generation of children grew up with the reading of the Bible, and they are different people. What we need in the White House is not a Republican or a Democrat. We need somebody who believes the scripture. Somebody who believes this book. I don't care what color the skin is. Yellow, green, whatever. But somebody who reads the scriptures, I believe it. The Bible will cause you to believe in God. Will produce faith when you don't believe it. But it's the Bible. Where do I start? Where the Bible starts? Genesis 1. You start reading. So I don't understand. Keep on reading, because later on, one verse later on will explain this verse. And how many times I read? About 1,000 times in a year. Just go ahead. Read it. You know, one of my blessings is that the radio paid me to read the Bible. If my grandma was alive, he would spank me again. The radio paid me to read the Bible. And I read the Bible 22 times in 1973 over the air. That was my only program. 13,000 letters came in. People would say, what is that? What is that? Now, those people, God has spotted it. And God pushed them to write back to America. All right? Now, my friend, why Jesus? Why Jesus? The conclusion, the whole sermon can be done in one verse. John 1:29. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In verse 29, why Jesus? Jesus is coming into the scenario of Palestine, and John the Baptist is preaching in the Jordan area. Now John the Baptist crossed the Jordan River, comes into Palestine, and he has an encounter with Jesus. Now remember, John the Baptist and Jesus are cousins, family. And rather than running and kissing him on the cheek, we Spanish, when we meet each other, men, we don't mean anything bad, we kiss each other in the cheek, and one and then the other, and so the Arabs. I never forgot, in Oakland happened, and I was in the seminary in 1969, and one Arab missionary was preaching, and he saw me. And he said, Ali, I'm Rahim. He said, come in. And he started kissing me. And I stood up and said, this guy is not from San Francisco. Neither I'm from San Francisco. But this is the way we greet each other in Arabia. All right? Now, look at what John did. 1:29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him. And what did he say? Cousin, how wonderful to see you again. Now, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. That's what it is. That's what it is. In one statement, John explained the Lord's Supper. The Lamb of God is the Lord Jesus, the person of the Lord Jesus. And he took away our sin. I know it. I believe it. Do you? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we have come to believe that Jesus took away our sin. Lord, how we pray today that many who are here in the auditorium and those who are there in the wonders of the radio and the internet and the tape ministry and CD ministry, I want them to be sure that they have come to believe in the name of Jesus, our Lord. I want them to be sure that they know that Jesus is not a religious leader. Jesus is the one who paid for our sins. He is the person elected by God the Father to be crucified for me. Oh God, how I pray that many will come to believe in Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for Israel and for the beauty of their testimony through the Lamb. We thank you for their prophets. We thank you for those faithful Israelites that kept the Passover as a symbol of a great salvation. Lord, we praise you that now we have joy because Israel fulfilled the commandment and the ordinance. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.